And we're glad he's here to bring God's message. Come on, Brother Winkler.
Yes, bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Ray. This reminds me of a few years ago. I was conducting a funeral, and I looked on the order of service, and the first song was, "Why Me, Lord?" But I praise God for what He's doing for us and all the blessings of the Lord. I want to read in the book of Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Now let's stand together while we read the scripture together. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Now then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." May we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. How we praise you for what you've done for us during these days. We thank you for what you've done in the service tonight, for lives that you've touched, and those that you've saved, and hearts that you've moved upon. We thank you for all of your provisions, and how we thank you for Brother Ray. We pray, our Father, that you'll continue to strengthen him, give him that physical strength and spiritual anointing that he needs as he leads this camp for your glory and for your honor. Our Father, we pray that you'll continue to supply every need. Help us in this hour. Speak to us through your word. We leave tonight, may we know that God's spoken to us through his word. All that you do for us, we'll be careful to bow the blood-stained feet of our Redeemer and give you the praise. In the name that's above every name, we humbly pray. Amen. I want to speak for you just for a few moments. I'll not preach long. I know that you're tired and some of you have many miles to travel. But I want to talk to you just for a little while about the parable of the lost sheep. Now, in response to the accusation of the Pharisees, accusation rather, that Jesus ate with sinners, the Lord Jesus gave three parables, which in reality is one parable, but he gave three illustrations which defined his mission to this world. Jesus, in response to their accusation that he ate with sinners, defined his mission into the world. He gave, first of all, the parable that we're speaking about, the parable of the lost sheep. In that parable, we see the work of the Savior, the work of the Son, revealing the inability of the sinner to save himself. In the second parable of the lost coin, we find the work of the Holy Spirit through the church and the insensitivity of the sinner. In the third parable, the parable of the lost son, we see the work of God the Father and the responsibility of the sinner. And so when you look at all three parables together, we see God's method of salvation. It's impossible to separate the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. And so when you look at all three parables together, we see that salvation is of the Lord and in the responsibility of every sinner. And then the Lord Jesus revealed the attitude of the Pharisees' heart. They misunderstood what his mission was to this world. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Our Lord would never have left heaven's glory. He would have never been found among any of the sons of Adam's fallen race had it not been to save sinners. 1 Timothy says this is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he died. He didn't die just to teach us how to love. He didn't die to teach us how to live, but he died to save sinners. And as a result, our ultimate aim is the salvation of men. All that we do as believers and as a church has one ultimate aim, the salvation of sinners. All that you've seen tonight, all the giving, every time the floor is swept, every time that a brick is laid, all has one motive for the salvation of sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. You notice the interest of the shepherd. We find that the shepherd counted his sheep, and he could only account for 99. And so he counted again, and he could only account for 99 sheep. Now you notice some things about the sheep that describes the condition of every sinner, and it's characteristic of every man without God. That sheep, first of all, is senseless. You can't train them. Now, a dog, if it's lost from home, might be able to find its way back. Or a horse, if it's lost, might be able to find its way back to its owner. But the sheep does not have the ability to find its way home. And as a result, it cannot be trained. And how that describes every man without God. Man without God possesses no divinity whatsoever. Now, before God saved me, there was no God whatsoever in me. But that night when God saved me and put grace in my heart, I became a possessor of God. Peter declares that we were born not of corruptible, but by the incorruptible Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. At my first birth, I received a depraved nature. I received a nature in total depravity and against God. But at my second birth, I received an incorruptible seed, an imperishable seed that can never perish. But that natural man that's without God possesses no divinity whatsoever. Ephesians 2 declares that you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin, and where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires thereof, and were by nature the children of wrath. That describes every man that is without God, born depraved, born without any divinity whatsoever. And then you know that that sheep is defenseless. Now the sheep is not equipped for fight. If that sheep is attacked by some wolf or by some predator, it has no defense whatsoever against its enemies. That describes men without God. Sinners are driven, dominated by the god of this world. They cannot help themselves. The Bible declares the natural man receiveth not the things of God, and so it's defenseless. And then that sheep is shiftless. Now the sheep cannot provide for itself unless the shepherd leads that sheep to green pastures. It'll surely die. It's unable to care for itself, unable to provide for itself. That describes men without God. Jesus said, I am the bread which has come down from heaven. He that eateth of this bread shall never hunger again. Jesus, you remember in John chapter 7, at the great day of the feast, when all those Jews were going back just like they came, empty and dry. Dead religion cannot satisfy. And at the close of that ritual, that ceremony, the priest took a pitcher of water and poured it out as a symbol. And Jesus saw that multitude leaving just like they came, empty and dry. And he stood and cried aloud and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Not in his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I am grateful tonight that our Lord is able to provide living water and satisfy that bread that satisfies the spiritual nature of men. But the sheep, unable to provide for itself, describes the sinner. Someone said the cow camel can scent water. The vulture can spy its food from a long distance. But that sheep would sure to die unless it were led to green pasture. And then that sheep is homeless, away from the fold, away from the shepherd. Ephesians declares that at one time that we were without God in this world. What an awful condition to be in without God. I'd hate to walk across the street without God. I'd be afraid to move without God in this world. And so there it is. The sheep is lost, unable to save itself, unable to find its way back to the fold. What can it do? But while that sheep is lost, you'll notice that there is a shepherd looking. Now, none of one of us would have started toward God had it not been for the fact that He came after us. Nothing in us that incited us toward God. Born with a depraved nature, a corruptible nature against God. No heart for God. No desire for God. But I praise God that the Lord Jesus in mercy and in grace came to where we were. He came after us. The shepherd counted his sheep, and he could only count 99. Now to most of us, 99% would be a good score. But to our Lord, it's a failing grade. And so that shepherd girds up his robe and sets out to find that sheep that is lost. Now you know the Lord has a sheepfold. He has a sheepfold of promise. The shepherd here is not a hired shepherd, but he's a shepherd owner, a shepherd proprietor. In Ezekiel chapter 34:11, the Bible declares, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy day." My dear friends, tonight the Lord Jesus has a sheepfold promised to him, and it turned to pass. The cross was erected in the heart of God, and it turned to pass. Tonight go with me back through 2,000 years of gospel preaching, back through 4 millenniums, and leave the time barrier, leave the time before this world was ever created, back in it turned to pass, and back in the heart of God, and in the bosom of God the Father, and you'll see the cross of the Lord Jesus erected, and it turned to pass in the bosom of the Blessed Trinity. The Bible declares that He's the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for us. He loved us, how we knew Him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That wouldn't be so amazing if He'd have loved us after He washed us. Would not be so amazing if He'd have loved us after He cleansed us. But before He ever cleansed us, before He ever put His grace in our heart and washed us white as snow, He loved us and planned it one day that He should go to Calvary and offer Himself as our sacrifice and discharge our sin debt. You're conscious in John chapter 10 of the Lord Jesus said, "He that entereth in not but the door and the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, He isn't speaking about heaven. He's speaking about the Jewish sheepfold. You don't sneak into heaven. You don't climb into heaven. But then Jesus declared, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not hear them. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find green pastures." Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And let me say tonight that the sheep of God recognize the voice of the shepherd. Some time ago, it was my privilege to go to Scotland. And one night after preaching in a service, in a revival where I was preaching down near Hawick, Scotland, we went out into the pasture land down near the English borders, thousands of acres of nothing but grazing land for sheep. And all through those pastures and that grazing land are small enclosures, five are 10 feet high, rock enclosures. They're called the sheepfold. And every night those different shepherds bring their sheep and leave them at that sheepfold under the care of the porter or the caretaker. And the next morning the various shepherds come and they call their sheep. And every sheep that belongs to that individual shepherd, when he hears the voice of his shepherd, rises up out of that fold on the one door in the front. But when the sheep hears the voice of his shepherd, he walks out and follows his shepherd. Now if a strange voice is sounded, that sheep does not move. Jesus said, that's true of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now you mark it down that this crowd that takes out after these false cults and false religions has never known the shepherd. I tell you, when a false shepherd comes by and tries to lure them away, that sheep of God said, I ain't going with you. You don't have the voice of my shepherd. My radar don't pick you up. I'm not moving. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I tell you, there's many things I do not know, but I know when God's around. I know when the voice of the shepherd's speaking. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. As the sheepfold the promise, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He purchased us at Calvary. He purchased this sheepfold with his own blood. But then you note the intensity of the surge. Now the Lord did not come to the earth to attempt to save sinners. He came to save sinners. It is a personal search. One particular sheep was lost. One was missing from the fold. Now in our day, it's easy sometimes to despise the method of individual conversion. But I want to tell you that God deals with every sinner as an individual. He may save 10,000 people at one gathering, but He deals with every sinner as one individual. He deals with them personally. He makes that sinner feel like he's the only sinner in the world. He counted his sheep, 99 were present, but one was missing, and one was gone. And so he girds up himself to go and to find that sheep. I'm glad the Lord sought for me personally as a sinner. The Bible declares that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now somebody said, try and put in your name there instead of saying the world. But I'm glad God wrote it just like He wrote it. I found out not long ago there was another Larry Winkler in the same county where I lived, and another Larry Winkler in the next county who was also a Baptist preacher. And sure enough, if God had written for God so loved Larry Winkler, the devil would have said to me, you fool, he meant one of them and not you. But I'm glad he said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And thank God that includes me. He sought for us as personally. And then as a painful search, the old hymn writer said, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep are the waters He crossed, or how dark the night ere the Lord passed through, and He found His sheep that was lost. And I praise God that with all the horrors of Calvary and all the cruelty of Gethsemane, that He sought for us and went to Calvary and bowed His head and cried, it's finished, and paid the debt for our sin. And then we're conscious that it's a persistent search. The Bible said, until He finds it. I'm glad that God searches for us until He finds us. Now you see, it's not the sheep looking for the shepherd. The shepherd wasn't lost. The sheep was lost. I didn't search and search for the Lord. Oh no. But He sought for me. He came after me in mercy. And He sought for this particular sheep until He found it. Now if you could see the face of that shepherd, you'd see the anxious countenance upon His face. There's no rest until He finds that sheep that is lost. I see this shepherd go down through one valley. And when He does not discover that sheep, He goes on over the next hill and through the next valley. Now, he didn't come to one valley, and when he didn't find the sheep, turned and returned back to the fold. But the book says he sought until he found that sheep that was lost. Through one valley, over one mountain, through another valley. Though the nights were long and the days were hot, and though the briars and the thistles were many, and though his body suffered, he had one mission, and that was to find that sheep that was lost. Don't you praise God tonight that he sought for you until he found you. He might have had to search for some of you for 50 years or more. He might have followed you through bar rooms and broken homes or whatever. But don't you praise God that he didn't give up, that he didn't turn back. He kept on searching, the book said, until he found that which was lost. You that have been saved this week and tonight, don't you praise God that he sought for you until he found you and in mercy and in grace recovered you. I'm grateful tonight that the blessed Spirit of God is in this world convicting men of sin and making them see themselves as sinners and bringing them to the fold of God. I think about a great Baptist preacher over in Ireland. His name was Willie Mullen. And his mother had 15 or 16 children. And every night she'd set them out in the floor and pray for God to save them. At the age of 16, a young man gave Willie Mullen his first drink. And he declared that from that time until 7 years later, he never pillowed his head and he drank a pint of whiskey. He never slept under a roof. He slept out in the fields or maybe in a barn and lived a vile, vicious life. He fell in with a rough gang of thieves and thugs. And what one day a certain man invited him to a gospel meeting. And he sat in that meeting, heard the preacher preach on the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? After the service was over, the individual that had invited him to the meeting said, Willie, what did you think about that preaching? And Willie cursed and stomped and swore and pitched such a fit, and he embarrassed the man that had invited him. And he left him standing alone, cursing and blaspheming God's messenger and that evangelistic meeting. And he said that he forgot all about that message. He forgot all about that meeting. But 6 months later, after midnight, he was walking across the field yonder in Ireland in the bright moonlight. He forgot all about that evangelistic meeting 6 months before. And he was walking across the field, case out a place they were going to rob early the next morning and to look it over and to case it out. But he said while he was walking across that moonlit field, God reminded him of what he'd heard 6 months before. He'd forgotten all about that meeting. But he said God spoke to him and said, Willie, what about the wrath of that Lamb? He'd forgotten about it. And he said, God, you're right, I'm a sinner. You ought to send me to hell. I'm a sinner. You'd be just in sending me to hell. But Willie Mullen said the same voice. That reminded me of the wrath of God also informed me that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, and God saved him. He was wearing an old cap and he twisted it up, and he said, God, if I run into somebody that don't love you, I'll cut their guts out. Of course, the Holy Ghost rebuked him with that, but he just got saved. Met one man on the street and told him God had saved him and scared the life out of him. And I praise God tonight that the Holy Ghost is in this world searching for the lost sheep, searching until it finds them. Sometimes people say, oh, if we could just have this personality come and preach to us, man, we'd really have revival. We'd really have a meeting, so and so would just come and preach. Or man, if we could get the 7 blind boys from Goobertown to sing, we'd really have a meeting. I want to tell you, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes. He must convict the sin. He must make men see themselves as a sinner. Thank God for that day when I found out that I was a sinner without God and without grace in this world. But last of all, you note the intervention of the sheep. Now the Bible said that when the shepherd found it, that he lifted it up. Now, when he found that sheep, he didn't curse it and kick it. He didn't say, you dirty rascal. My arms and my legs are bruised and bleeding from the briars. And I've suffered many things to find you. I ought to just kick you off in the ravine and let you die. No, when the shepherd found that sheep, he didn't kick it, he didn't curse it. But with arms of love, he reached down for that little trembling sheep. Didn't have enough sense to get back home. Didn't have enough sense to provide for itself. That describes me without God. Didn't have enough sense to know how to get to God. But I praise God, he came for me and lifted me. Now you'd think that the moment of that sheep, the moment that that sheep sees the shepherd, you'd think after all that wandering, you'd think that he'd immediately just leap in that shepherd's arm. But he didn't do that. He did just what we did. He struggled and he fought and he kicked. And he did all he could to get away from that shepherd. And that's what we did. Now, it's unusual, and I'm sure that it's happened, but I know that it's unusual when a person, the very first time, responds to the grace of God. The truth is, God calls for most of us more than one time in mercy. Most of us fought. Most of us struggled. And we did all that we could to get away from Him. And the devil made his last throw and did all that he could to keep us from the Savior. And so that sheep struggled and he fought. And but the shepherd finally grabbed his feet and put such a grip on him that the sheep couldn't get lost. That's what he done to me. I remember the Monday night, just before I was saved on a Wednesday night, the shepherd laid his hands on me. And I fought and struggled and refused the grace of God. But the next night his grip tightened and it was a little harder to resist. But on that Wednesday night, thank God he put such a grip on me, I couldn't get loose. I couldn't struggle free. And finally all I could do was surrender and cry to God for mercy, just as I was, without one plea, that His blood was shed for me. Thank God that He sought for us. Do you remember that day when God reached down in the mud of the mire and lifted you up? Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, may this glowing heart rejoice. Thank God for the night. The shepherd of heaven, the high sheriff of heaven, reached down and lifted me up in His arms of mercy. I think about old John Jasper. My wife and I were driving through Richmond, Virginia a few months ago, and I visited the church where John Jasper, the famous black preacher, preached. He was a slave, and afterwards he was freed. When he died, he said, before he died, he said, born a slave, but he died free in body and in spirit. But anyhow, John Jasper was saved sitting on a bench at the county courthouse in Richmond, Virginia. Jasper said, I was sitting on that bench and the Holy Ghost put a gig in my heart. Or He put a hook in me and I couldn't get it out. And I got saved. He said, I was working at an old tobacco warehouse in Richmond, Virginia. And there's a certain colored sister down the line. I knew she'd been praying for me. And I wanted to tell her that God had saved me. But I knew if I told her, her holding back straps would break and she'd go to praising God. And I didn't want to cause any trouble. But said after a while, I couldn't help it. And I eased up beside her and said, I got saved this evening. He said, sure enough, her holding back straps broke. And she went to praising God. And the whole warehouse got in an uproar. And the foreman came out and said, what's wrong? What's going on out here? And somebody shouted out of the crowd and said, oh, John Jasper done got religion. He done got born again. I brought him in before the man who owned the place. And Jasper said, Master Sam, I didn't mean to cause no trouble. Honest, I didn't. I know you've been praying for me and the Lord saved me and I tried to keep them holding back straps from breaking and they done broke and I can't help it. And his owner went to crying. He said, Jasper, go out back on that floor and everybody you see, you tell them what God done for you. You tell them, go on the second story and tell them. And when you tell it up there, go down the basement and tell them what God done for you. And old Jasper on his deathbed said these words, oh, happy day. That is my conversion morning. How can I ever forget it? Though my steps is sad and rather slow, and my voice often breaks down, but to my last expiring breath, I'll sing the love of the dying Lamb. I'm going down to the river now and wait for further instructions, and went out to be with God. Oh, thank God for that day when the Shepherd of Heaven laid His grip on me and put such a grip on me I could not break loose. But you'll notice He not only lifted that sheep, the Bible said He laid it on His shoulders. Now did you know that the sheep of God have a double security? Amen. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. Singular. Isaiah chapter 9, and the word singular. But listen what Jesus or the shepherd done to this sheep. And when He found it, He laid it on His shoulders. Plural. In other words, my soul is more secure than the government. It's going to be on His shoulder. He laid us on His shoulders, double strength. The Bible says nothing about the journey back to the fold. The Bible says nothing about the long, dusty road back. The Bible said that He simply found it. And when He found it, He laid it on His shoulders rejoicing. And in the next verse, and when He cometh home, that's it. He found it in the next verse, He brought it home. No possibility that He won't get home. Nothing said about the long journey back. Thank God He just found it and brought it home. No possibility we'll ever lose what God done for us. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He did predestinate, He called. And whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. We're not yet glorified. As far as God's concerned, we are. And God said, just put it down like it's already happening. It'll happen. Just as sure as He called us, just as sure as He justified us, He's going to glorify us. Be no possibility that we won't be glorified. It doth not yet appear what we should be. But when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I tell you, when we see Him, we'll forget about all the journey. We'll wonder we ever complained in this race for God. We'll wonder that we ever complained about any of the miles when we see Him. He sought us. He found us. And He's taken us to the fold. Thank God tonight the Shepherd of Heaven still seeks sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost.